I'm Michael Feinstein, and my guest on the Song Travels podcast today is Betty Buckley. This episode is dedicated to her co-star from the TV series, Eight Is Enough, the late Dick Van Patten, December 9th, 1928 to June 23rd, 2015. Hi, I'm Michael Feinstein. My guest today is Tony Award-winning Broadway leading lady, Betty Buckley. She debuted the role of Grisabella in the original Broadway production of Cats and has had a lifelong career on the stage and screen and in concert halls worldwide. An Emmy-nominated actress, she starred on the TV series Eight Is Enough and appeared in films such as Carrie and Tender Mercies. She also released 16 solo albums, including her 2014 album, Ghostlight, which was produced by T-Bone Burnett. Betty, welcome to Song Travels.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's great to have this time with you because you have the most fascinating career. Even though you're known by a lot of people for your Broadway work, you're known by other people for television work, your interest in music is very, very wide-ranging, and in the last number of years, you've had the opportunity to expand well past Broadway and sing all different kinds of songs in a different fashion. Where did your love of music come from?
Well, my mother had been a singer-dancer growing up, and she was known as the Jitterbug Queen of Texas Tech University.
Wow.
And so she had this great love for song, and my aunt was a dance teacher and a dancer as well, and so when I was born, she was thrilled that I manifested this love for song. And she says that I sang in church when I was two. I sang in the youth choir in the Methodist church. But she taught me about all the great lady singers and had very extensive collection of Broadway cast albums. I learned to sing just listening to the great lady singers and mimicking them in my bedroom.
What was your first professional gig?
My first professional gig was Gypsy in our regional theater, Casa Manana, in Fort Worth, the regional theater production of Gypsy, and I played Dainty June.
Uh-huh. So from the get-go, you were doing musical theater. Mm-hmm. When did you have a gig as a chanteuse?
When I was a teenager, there was a little jazz club in town called Casa del Sol, and I was singing around town, and, you know, when I was a junior in college, I was Miss Fort Worth, and people asked me to sing at all kinds of events and, you know, did my first set of concerts and stuff, but I was fortunate to get to work with this little jazz trio, and so I was learning a lot of music in that in my late teens. But besides jazz and jazz instrumentalists and all those great lady singers, my great love was the musical theater.
I'd like to get to some music, and I'm excited you're going to sing a number of things for us.
Thank you.
Some from your newest CD, which is called Ghostlight, and which production-wise takes you back to your roots because you collaborated with T-Bone Burnett, whom you knew many years ago when you were, mm-hmm. I guess, starting out.
When we were both 19, his mother, Hazel Vernon, and my mother, Betty Bob, you know, got together. They were friends and said, you know, T-Bone had his own recording studio from the time he was 17. And I was working with that little jazz trio. And so I had quite a growing repertoire of material. And so I went in one Saturday afternoon and he recorded this archive recording of my singing. And there were two reel-to-reel tapes. And one we sent to my first agent who signed me when I was a junior at TCU, Texas Christian University. And he kept that recording for all these years and played it for Phil Bursch, the publisher of Playbill, who in 2007 was starting his own record label, and he wanted to release this archive tape as the first album I never had, which was awfully nice of him. But we sent a copy to T-Bone, and T-Bone and I stayed in touch personally as friends for all these years, having gone in different directions in the music business, but we were still very close, and he would always say, oh, we may need to make another record someday, Betty. And I never took that seriously, you know, because he's a very busy guy. So I just never thought that he'd get around to it. But a couple of years ago, he called and said, I have some time on my schedule. Let's make that record. So we made Ghostlight, and it's been such a gift to me that he would choose to do that.
It's a beautiful album.
Thank you.
And the choice of selections is eclectic. You've chosen to record a song that's usually connected with a man, but it is gender-free and one of the greats from South Pacific. And you're going to sing it accompanied by Clifford Carter at the piano. This Nearly Was Mine.
I've always loved this song. I mean, I love that musical, but I just love this song. It's a perfectly exquisite love song.
Would you sing it for us now?
I'd be happy to. One dream in my heart, one love to be living for, one love to be living for. This nearly was mine. One man for my dream, one partner in paradise. This promise of paradise, this nearly was mine.
Betty, among the many things you've done was appear on a TV series that is now considered iconic, Eight Is Enough. Did you like doing television? Did you like the routine of that, having to be on a very, very different schedule from any other kind of show business?
It was a shock. I was 28 years old when I started that show, and they had done 6 episodes with the wonderful actress Dinah Hyland, and they were a hugely successful show after those first 6 episodes. And she, out of the blue, was diagnosed with cancer and passed away very shortly after that, and which was a huge loss for all of them. And so they then went through an audition process to find an actress who could be the stepmother for the show and not upset the balance that had already been established. And so I had been recommended because of my performance in Carrie as Miss Collins, the gym teacher. Huh. So they flew me out twice to test and then offered me the role. And we did 29 episodes a year for 4 years, and we would shoot a one-hour film episode in a week and a half. Mm-hmm. And so it was a bit of a shock. But I had my ex-husband, Peter Flood, who's a wonderful gentleman and still one of my dearest friends, had taken me to a meditation center after I made the film Carrie and said, you need to learn to meditate.
And it drove you to meditation.
Yes, film. Yes. And then, yogi philosophy and meditation, and due to the practice of meditation and the practice of yoga, I was able to survive and grow and approach that It Is Enough experience like a school in big business, show business. And it truly was, I was so grateful to have that much time to practice the craft of acting on film, which I didn't know that much about. I'd only done one film. And, so I learned how to be a better actress through that experience. And I learned how to survive in Hollywood. But it was kind of weird because I was like this little, Texas girl monk in Hollywood, which was, if it hadn't been for the meditation, probably would have swallowed me up and spit me out, But as it was, I had a foundation to get me through that, which was quite a gift. I'm very grateful that for my meditation instructors and my ex-husband's guidance.
That's really wonderful. I think many performers discover different ways to deal with the pressures, and meditation is one that I know that many use, including myself, because it's very hard to find balance otherwise, especially when you sublimate yourself as an actress, as you do to so many other characters and roles. It takes a piece of you.
Yeah, and to have a sense of self that you can securely come back to, despite the vanities of show business or the whims of show business. I mean, some days they love you and sometimes they don't, and it's cyclical, and you're up, you're down, you can win awards and then people don't take your phone call. I mean, things like that. So it's like to keep coming back to a secure sense of, well, I know this about myself and I have this truth that I can hold to. Then the whims of the business, don't hurt as much. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. You've been listening to the Song Travels podcast. To stream the full hour of this program, visit npr.org. And thank you for listening. I'm Michael Feinstein, host of Song Travels. You can find more information on our Facebook page at facebook.com/songtravels.